Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. If you're hearing our voices, chances are you've been the brunt of someone's negative observations or even rants in days gone by. Perhaps you've even been a little negative yourself. No worry, your secret's safe with me, with us. Besides, you've probably already repented for being a nattering nabob of negativism.
Oh,
I just had to throw that out.
I know it.
I want to tell you that we've been shown seven habits or behavior patterns which should not be a part of our daily lives if we want to maximize our potential and productivity for the kingdom of God.
Number one, stop rationalizing about temper tantrums. Have you ever heard someone justify their pitching a fit? It's kind of a North Carolina expression. I believe that might be more accurately described as having a temper tantrum by saying, well, I've always had a temper. I got it from my dad or I got it from my mom. It's just the way I am. Throwing a temper tantrum is what I do. You know, and they say that because they've been unwilling to change their pattern behaviors and take control of their emotions. Some folks might blame it on their genes, claiming their temper tantrum is hereditary. And that excuse might have worked, you know, when you were two or three, if you had enough sense to be able to say that. But not as an adult. In Proverbs 14, verse 17, have you ever heard a two-year-old say, I inherited it from you, Mom? Proverbs 14, verse 17 says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. You know, a lack of discipline may have contributed to temper tantrums as a child. But as you grow, you'll learn to choose how to act and react responsibly. You know, we can continue temper tantrums and be what Proverbs 14:17 says. Listen to this in the Amplified Bible. It says, he who foams up quickly and flies into a passion deals foolishly. Generally, when someone foams at the mouth, okay, really, they've lost it. That's something that God would not have us do, obviously. Whether a person controls their temper or not is a choice. In Proverbs 16, verse 32 in the New Living Translation, it says, better be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Now that is a mouthful. Here's the bottom line, and it's found in James 1:20. James 1, verse 20 in the Classic Amplified says, for man's anger does not promote the righteousness God wishes and requires. In other words, temper tantrums are one negative to eliminate from your life if you ever want to accentuate the positive.
And we do.
Yes, we do.
Number two, male, M-A-L-E, pattern, P-A-T-T-E-R-N, baldness, B-L-D-N-E-S-S. And in case you're wondering, I'm not referring to having a lack of hair.
Oh.
But rather a head that is lacking wisdom and empathy. You ever heard supervisors or other people, well, who laid to waste, if you will, a coworker or friend by simply saying, well, I was just being bold with them. There's a huge difference between being bold and being rude. Sadly, some people say what they're thinking without really thinking about the consequences of the words coming out of their mouths. We've always told our children to think before they speak. Just because something pops into our heads doesn't mean it should pop out of our mouths. We frequently quote Ephesians 4:29, Classic Amplified. But there's a reason for it. It contains life-changing, bondage-breaking, yoke-destroying, mountain-moving power words. It's one scripture I'm convinced that we can never hear too often. In fact, we're both convinced of that. It says, let no foul or polluting language nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear. One other scripture, which we are convinced can be effectively used to overcome all 7 points in this teaching. We strongly suggest that you read and reread 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5, this in the Classic Amplified Bible. Love endures long, is patient and kind. Love is never envious, nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Verse 5. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong.
Wow. Number 3, reaction reflexes create relational ruts.
Say that again.
Thanks. Reaction reflexes create relational ruts. My husband loves alliteration here. There is a medical condition called acid reflex. If you've never had it, you don't want it, which it's quite annoying to deal with. With this ailment, one of the remedies is to alter your diet. Many people also suffer from reaction reflux, which is not a medical but a mental condition, which causes people to react the same way in every condition. This negative behavior pattern really happens way too frequently in marriages. It worms its way in because of past patterns that some husbands and wives assume that they already know what their spouse is going to say in any given situation. And in a way, they may. However, it's how they react to that perceived behavior is what's called the reflex reaction. Over time, and not maybe a long period of time, couples can fall into a relational rut instead of developing a fresh perspective, which gives the spouse the benefit of the doubt until you hear them out. That sounded good.
It did.
They just, it's what they call, I like to call, pushing a button. In other words, unfortunately, many of the reaction reflexes are based on trigger words or phrases, which cause that emotional response. It's never your fault. If you hadn't spent all the money, she's just a friend I talk to. You never listen to me. I can't do anything to please you. And the list goes on. You know, you've seen television programs or maybe lived in it with your own in your own house. One of the ways to eliminate these trigger phrases and reaction reflexes is to purpose in your heart to forgive and forget past mistakes. Ask God to help you look at a situation and a conversation with fresh eyes and a fresh heart. That happens often when somebody gets on something and then it goes back to the beginning. You know how it is. Here's the best way to get out of the reactional reflexes and relational rut syndrome. James 5, verse 16. James 5, 16 in the Classic Amplified. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous person, a man in this instance in the sentence, makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. This is something that needs to be agreed on with husbands and wives before you start it. Be encouraged and overcome every negative thought and emotion and reaction with the words of Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19 in the Classic Amplified. It says, do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God will help you overcome this if you work together and look to him.
Number four, never assume anything. I don't really remember the first time I heard someone, well, I heard what the word assume when hyphenated means, or rather what it reveals a person to be. But I've always remembered that bit of salty human interpretation. And if you don't know what I'm referring to, you won't hear it from me, because truthfully, I don't even know why I'm saying this, because it's not a proper thing to say, even though there may be some truth in it. Here's the point. Words are powerful.
Yes, they are.
But sometimes words mean different things to different people. I remember reading some time back about an elementary school teacher from Texas who was reviewing the weekly vocabulary words with her students. When she asked the students, one girl immediately popped up her hand and said, I know, teacher, I know that, I know. But obvious delight, the little girl said that pause, because that was the teacher's question, what does pause mean? She said, pause is the button on the cable TV remote, which allows you to stop your TV show or DVD, to answer the phone, and go eat dinner. Now, that's probably not the answer the teacher was hoping for, but it definitely reflected the little girl's experience and the effect of popular culture on our children. As you talk with people, you will assume, well, you'll assume or judge what you think the other person is saying, or more correctly, means, based on your past experience with that person and in life. But listen to Isaiah 11:3, classic Amplified. And shall make him of quick understanding, and his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither decide by the hearing of his ears. In other words, we need to eliminate negative thoughts about others. We need to always openly and calmly, communicate to determine exactly what the person thinks, and that both of you or both of us are reading on the same sheet, well, if you will, same sheet of music, so to speak. Lately, one of our favorite scriptures has been James 1:19, classic Amplified, which we've quoted in several of the areas we've already discussed. But here's what it says. Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man, woman, let every person, let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and get angry. That actually would be a great verse to personalize, and it's one of those 7 points that you need to hold on to. Well, as you can tell, we're not getting through all 7 today. We'll pick it up again tomorrow. This is something we need to think about, because see, how we react is a reflection of our witness, much more so than handing out tracts or anything else.
And discipline of the tongue takes the truest discipline of all.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So 7 ways to eliminate the negative.
This is definitely a
good start.
Yep, we'll pick it up tomorrow. Go to heraldhearing.com, check out this week's 2-minute video. If you've been blessed by the teaching up at the top where it says, sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.